Morning, and this morning we have the privilege of learning together the final daf here in Maseches Chagiga, the final daf in Seder Moed. And Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning, we'll merit to start a new order, a new topic, a topic of the laws between men and women, namely marriage laws. And the first topic that we'll get to is Yevamot. Yevamot is a fascinating mitzvah where the mitzvah entails the suspension of what is normally an avera. Normally, there are certain relations that a person's not allowed to marry. For example, a person's not allowed to marry his wife's sister. If a person's married to Rachel, he can't be at the same time also married to her sister, Leah. One of the prohibited relations is the wife of a brother. Eshes Achiv. If a person's married, you know, Reuven's married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Leah, Reuven's not allowed to marry Leah because Leah was married to his brother. However, if the brother dies without children, then there's a mitzvah of Yibum. There's a mitzvah that the brother marry the widow to create a family on behalf of the deceased brother. So this is a mitzvah where in the mitzvah itself we have a conflict. There's a mitzvah, go marry to create children, but the only way to do that mitzvah is by suspending the normal avera, do not marry eshes achiv. And in the mitzvah of Yibum, that's what happens. So that's going to be a very fascinating masechta to deal with marriages that are allowed, marriages that aren't allowed, when you have Yibum, when you don't have Yibum, when people don't want to do Yibum, and all the other fascinating topics in Masechet Yevamos, which God willing will merit to start tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Yeah, anybody who's thinking of joining the daf, you should recruit them to join at least for the beginning of Yevamos. It's exciting. We're starting a new Seder. It's not always so straightforward. Sometimes a little complicated, but still, it's exciting.
What is the explanation of Yaakov marrying Rachel and Leah?
Well, very good. Baruch asks a very good question. How could Yaakov Avinu marry Rachel and Leah? Right? How could he marry? Oh, very nice. Sheldon gives the answer of the Ramban, that it was outside of the land of Israel. And the Avot, before the Torah was given, they only kept the Torah maybe in the land of Israel. Maybe they didn't keep the Torah outside the land of Israel. Another suggestion that's offered is that Yaakov was Jewish, Rachel and Leah were not. So when Rachel and Leah married him, they were converting. So once a person converts, the whole clock is reset. A convert is a new beginning. The convert now has a new identity through joining the Jewish people. So because they were converts, they were not actually sisters anymore. They had both started again. Now, maybe on a rabbinic level, still one shouldn't do it. You don't want people to think that becoming Jewish is less rigorous than being a non-Jew. But maybe that rabbinic law maybe didn't exist yet. Maybe the Avot didn't keep the rabbinic laws. That's another possible answer. Another suggested answer, sort of interesting answer, is that when the Torah prohibits a person from marrying two sisters, what the Torah is saying is, if you have Jewish marriage to one sister, the Jewish marriage to one sister creates a prohibition on the other sister. Remember, when you get married under the chuppah, they make a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you God, Mekadesh Yisrael, who consecrates Israel, al yedei chupa v'kiddushin, through the chuppah and the kiddushin. Somehow there's a Jewishness to the marriage. So Yaakov Avinu, maybe he acted as a Jew, because he kept all the mitzvot, but his marriage wasn't a Jewish marriage yet. We hadn't yet had Har Sinai. We hadn't yet gotten Chuppah v'Kiddushin. So his marriage to one sister was a non-Jewish marriage. It wasn't a Jewish marriage to her. So that would therefore mean that only a Jewish marriage creates prohibition on the second sister. He didn't have a Jewish marriage to the first sister. That's why he was allowed to marry two sisters. That's one of the answers.
Has it to do with Lavan cheating him in Obama?
I don't think it had anything to do with Obama, no. But Yaakov was married to two sisters. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to have a very exciting experience and a very enjoyable, hopefully experience of learning Maseches Yevamos. And hopefully it'll be a merit for us and for everybody. Yevamos is not one of the easier Masechtos. And whenever we learn something which takes some effort, that's a big merit. I saw in a book of different conversations that Rav Steinman of blessed memory had. And he said during World War I, the Chazon Ish had to run for his life from Russia to Lithuania. And he was on a train filled with Russian soldiers who were very anti-Semitic. And somehow he later told his followers that he was not afraid on the train, because he said, my head was so immersed in trying to figure out Masechet Erevin, I knew that that would protect me. It's such a hard Masechta, and he was learning it, you know, Lishma, for the sake of understanding the Torah. That would protect him. When you work hard in Torah learning, that protects you. So somebody asked Rav Steinman, why didn't the Chazon Ish try to focus on Emunah? Have deep, deep faith in Hashem. Nefesh HaChaim writes that when you really feel very strongly that Ein Od Mulvado, there's only Hashem in the world, there's nothing but Hashem, then you're protected. So he said, when you try to focus on Emunah, you're trying to focus on one thought. So one thought, sometimes your mind just eventually leaves it. But Masechet Erevin, a lot of things to think about. So when you're really working hard in a Masechta, every second you're just immersed in this deep analysis, so that can keep you protected for an extended period of time. So Bezrat Hashem, Masechet Yevamos, is going to bring us a lot of protection, and all the Jewish people throughout the world will be protected in the merit of Masechet Yevamos. Okay, we are in Chavav Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. We learned an amazing idea yesterday, and that is that even though the rabbis imposed the status of Tumah, of impurity, on the Amei Haaretz, on the ignorant people, however, they sometimes suspend that status. So we saw yesterday they suspended that status when you need to buy from ignorant people earthenware vessels. They also suspended that status on the holiday. On the holiday, V'yaseif kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir ki ish echad chaverim. Ha'kasav asan kulon chaverim. On the holiday, everybody are friends. Everybody's a Torah scholar. Everybody's trusted. Everybody's in a great place. Everybody is very credible. So now the Mishnah says, Haposeach es chaviso, a fellow who is a Talmud Chacham, and he opens up his barrel to sell wine in Yerushalayim during the holiday. So all the people who are coming to buy put their cups into the barrel of wine. Included amongst these people who are buying are Amaratzim. So Amaratzim are touching the wine. But over the Yom Tov, they're touching the wine. Or Amatchel B'Sasso Al Gavarego. Somebody starts selling dough during the holiday. And people are touching the dough to turn it into bread. So now, during the holiday, that's all fine. Because during the holiday, there is no impurity on the Amaratzim, as we just said. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yigmar, Rabbi Yehuda says, now that the holiday is over, he can finish up. In other words, if we're going to tell him that at the moment the holiday ends, now all of his stuff is tame, he's just not going to try, he's going to avoid selling because he doesn't want to lose all of his stuff. So therefore, he can finish up. That's part of the permission. He can finish up and it's still tahar. The Chacham and Chacham say, no, we allowed him to sell during the Yom Tov, but lo yigmar achar haregel. But he should not be finishing after the holiday. So even though during the holiday everything was tahor, right, when the holiday ends, then retroactively everything is tummy, because Amaratzim touched it during the holiday. So therefore, after the holiday, he can't sell the stuff. He's now all the stuff, the wine and the bread, is tummy.
But Rabbi, it sounds like during the holiday you have a green light to do whatever you want.
I wouldn't say you're going to do whatever you want. During the holiday, everybody gets along. During the holiday, everybody's a tzaddik. Everybody's wonderful. We see the best in everyone. We treat everybody as if they're Torah scholars. That's a great thing. The holiday lifts us up. We become greater people during the holiday. Halavai. We should live that way. But that's the way to live. The holiday makes you a different person.
Every day should be holiday.
Amen. Amen. Says the Gemara, Yasim Rav Ami Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha were once sitting Akila on the front step of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Pasachad v'amar, one of them began and sang, according to this opinion, the Chachamim, that after the holiday, the dough and the wine that had been touched by Amaratzim is now Tameh. And you can't sell it, really, because you can't sell Tameh stuff, because the Amaratzim, when they touch it during the holiday, they don't make it Tameh. But it's just a suspension. The moment the holiday ends, now it does become Tameh. Maushiyani chenel regel acher. Can you leave this barrel of wine or dough for the next holiday? And now will it again become Tohor? So the other one said to him, Yada koma mashmashin ba. Everybody was touching it during the holiday. And you think you can leave it for the next holiday? Once everybody touched it, once the holiday's over, it's tummy. Once it's tummy, you can't wait till the next holiday. You're going to be selling tummy things. Amalisi said to understand. Till now, in other words, during the holiday, everybody was touching it. And we said it was tahar. Because during the holiday, the ignorant people are treated like Torah scholars. What they touch is Torah. So since it was Torah during the holiday, after the holiday should be fine too. Amalei, so he said, Hafi Ash, what's the comparison? Bishmada idna till now, Tumas Amar, it's Beregel Rachman Atira. Till this point, it's during the holiday. So during the holiday, Hashem suspends the impurity of the ignorant people. Elahash, but once it's after the holiday, it's May. Now everything becomes Tameh. So, that's the argument. Apparently there's an argument. One opinion says, yes, everything became tummy according to the Chacham after the holiday, but that's only after the holiday. Once you get to a new holiday, it now becomes Tohar again. And according to the other opinion, no, once it was tummy, it's not going to become Tohar again. Maybe this question about whether we can wait till the next holiday with it and now it'll again become Tohar is an argument of Tanaim, not just Amorim. The Tanichad we learned in one Braisa, Yenichan al Regal Acher. Somebody was selling stuff over the holiday and Amaratzim were touching it. He should leave the things till the next holiday. The Tanya Yidach, the other Brisa says, don't leave it till the next holiday. So my love, Tanai, presumably this is the Machlokas Tanai. One opinion says you can leave it till the next holiday. And one opinion says you can't. Says the Marlo, that's not what's going on. The Katani and Ichena, this view that says leave it till the next holiday, this Brisa really is the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even after the holiday, it stays tor. Whatever the Amaratzim touched during the holiday, it's not a problem. So even after the holiday, it's not a problem. So therefore, you can leave it even to the next holiday, it's saying. The Brisa that says you can't leave it to the next holiday is Rabbanan, because they hold that after the holiday, now retroactively, it's all tummy because the Amaratzim touched it during the holiday. Says the Gemara B'Tizbra, do you really think that that's the case? That the Brisa that says Yenichena, leave it to the next holiday, is really the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Yigmar Kama. Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah, you can finish the sales. Whatever you were selling during the holiday and the Amaratzim were touching, you can keep selling it after the holiday. So, if that's what he's saying, he wouldn't say in the Braisa, leave it till the next holiday. He would say, like he said in the Mishnah, Yigmar, you can keep selling. Ella said like this. Oh, the Katani, the Braisa that said, Lo Yinichena. Don't leave it to the next holiday. That's Rabbi Yehuda, because you should be finishing it up now. Adi Katani Yenichena, Rabbanan, the one that says leave it to the next holiday, is the Rabbanan. My lo Yenichena, what does it mean? He shouldn't leave it. It means ain't sarach lanicha. You don't have to leave it till the next holiday because you can keep selling. And according to the Rabbanan, you have to leave it till the next holiday. So okay, we do have an answer to this argument. We do see, right, we had asked, according to the Rabbanan, that after the holiday it's Tameh. What about if you wait till the next holiday? So we see that according to this Braisa, if you wait till the next holiday, it would become Tahor, according to the Rabbanan, because they're the ones who say, Yenichena. And Rabbi Yehuda, he's the one who says, you don't have to leave it. Well, Yenichena, you don't have to leave it, because you can sell it even after the holiday. All right, so once we learn this concept that things that are touched during the holiday, now after the holiday become tummy, what about the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash? In the Beis HaMikdash, you have a lot of people walking around.
So whose opinion is the halakha?
The Chachamim, that it becomes tummy.
Meaning that you're allowed to sell after the...
No, after the holiday you can't sell, so but the next holiday you'd be able to sell.
So So lock it up in the room and then open up again next holiday.
Yeah, 6 months later, exactly. Misha Avara Regel, once the holiday is over, so now what are we going to do with the items of the Beis HaMikdash? Ma'avir and Altar HaSazar, we remove the different items of the Beis HaMikdash, the utensils, in order to immerse them. Because again, during the holiday, the Amaratzim are Tahor. During the holiday, they were all in the Beis HaMikdash. And they were touching stuff. But after the holiday, all these things that they touched are now Tameh, because they were touched by Amaratzim. So after the holiday, a big mikvah going, a big mikvah trip. All the different knives and the bowls and the receptacles, the cups. That's right. Yeah, you got to have Kohanim or Amaratzim. That's true. There were Kohanim or Amaratzim. That's right. What's that? Like everybody else, as Alnog says, you have to remember, we're talking about the times of the Mishnah, so the times of the Second Temple. The majority of the Jewish people were not religious. The majority of the Jewish people were Sadducees. They were Tzedukim. They were worse than Amaratzim. They were ideologically opposed to. Yeah, they were there. We even had Kohanim Gedolim who were Tzedukim, right? We had a lot of. Yeah, we had unfortunately a lot of things not the right way. Unfortunately.
Why the Amoraites were not full Jews? Okay,
they are full Jews, but they're just treated as if they're Tamei. We don't trust them because they don't take religion seriously. So we don't trust them, and they're ignorant, and they're proud of their ignorance.
There were like two nations back then, practically two nations.
Yeah.
You couldn't go to Shabbos meal. You couldn't
right.
go
to my
invite people. You couldn't sit with them to eat.
Right. There was like two groups. It was a big division. A big division.
That nowadays they call them Jainos, you know.
Jainos, I never heard that. Jews and name only. I never heard that. Jaino.
It's the same thing, isn't it, Rabbi?
They were ignorant. Listen, this is a big challenge, right, for the Jewish people. We have a big Yetzirah. As much as whatever the situation is, we can have a Beis HaMikdash. We have a lot of people not religious. We have the first Beis HaMikdash. We have prophecy and a lot of people worshiping idols. We struggle, whatever it is. We have a hard time. We're an Am Kshei Oref. We're a stiff-necked nation. And we struggle. You could have all the best things, the best teachers, the best books, the best everything. And still the Jewish people struggle. We struggle to do the right thing, to serve Hashem. Avar HaRegel Yom Shishi. Now what happens if the holiday ends on a Friday? So now Friday is going to be the day of putting everything into the mikvah. We might get late. We won't be preparing for Shabbos. Then lo yom avir. And then they wouldn't take everything to the mikvah on Friday. Mipnei kvod haShabbos. The Kohanim have to prepare for Shabbos. So then only after Shabbos would we put everything into the mikvah. Even if the holiday ended and the first day after the holiday was a Thursday. Thursday also we need to be preparing for Shabbos. The Kohanim aren't available to take all the utensils to the mikvah on Thursday. Rather, on Sunday after Shabbos, they would take it to the mikvah. Says the Gemara, Tanu Lugan Abraisa, Rabbi Yehuda said that on Thursday also they can't take everything to the mikvah. Because the Kohanim are very busy cleaning off the Mizbeach from all of the ashes. There are tons of karbanos that were brought on the holiday. So the Mizbeach was filled with ashes. They have to clean up the Mizbeach. They have to take the ashes off. They're so busy with that, they didn't have the time to also tovel everything in a mikvah. Next Mishnah. Ketzad ma'avirin al taras hazar. How do we remove utensils in order to purify them after the Amaratzim touch them? So all the utensils that were in the Beis HaMikdash during the holiday get taken to the mikvah. The Kohanim used to tell the Amaratzim when they would walk into the Heichal to bow down, they'll tell them, Yizaru, be careful, now turning to Chavav and Beish, Lotigu B'Shulchan. Don't touch the table because we cannot go put it into the mikvah. The reason why is the Torah says about the lechem apanim, about the bread that's on the table, v'nasata al hashulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. and you are to put on the shulchan the showbread before me constantly. So since it's supposed to be lefanai tamid, before me constantly, therefore we have a problem. If it becomes tamay and we go take it to the mikvah, it's not in front of Hashem constantly.
Just have two.
Oh, he could have had two. All right, well, they didn't have two, right? So be careful.
And they had.
Shlomo built 10. Okay, yeah. Maybe you're worried that the Amoratim would touch the other one also. So we say, no, don't touch the table. All right, Kol HaKelim Shehayu BaMikdash, all the utensils that were in the Beis HaMikdash, Yesh Lehem Shniyim U'Shlishim. They had a second, they had a third, they had replacements. Shenitmo Rishonim, if the first one became Tameh, Yaviu Shniyim Tachtim. They would bring the second one to take its place. Kol HaKelim Shehayu BaMikdash, all the utensils that were in the Beis HaMikdash, Tunin Tvila. They have to now be taken to the mikvah after they are touched by the Amoratim. Or if they became tamei from some other tumah, let's say a dead rodent falls on them. The exceptions to this are the altars, the golden altar for the ktores in the heichal and the copper altar for the offerings out in the chatzer. They don't need to be immersed. Because they have the status of ground. The Torah says, Mizbech Adama, make an altar of earth. So it's considered earth. So earth can't become tamei. Tivri Belezer is the view of Rabbi Elazar. However, Chacham said the reason why they couldn't become tamei is mipnei shehein mitzupin, because they are plated. They're plated with a metal. So that's a strange thing. Other Rabbah, if it's plated with a metal, it should be able to become tamei. The Gemara will explain that. Says the Gemara, Tanu Dina Braisa, they would tell the Amoratim, Hizaru, be careful, Shematugu B'Shulchan of a menorah. Be careful not to touch the table or the menorah. Because both of them have to be tamei, they have to be constantly before the Almighty. So if you touch them and make them tamei, we're going to have to take them to the mikvah, they won't be constantly in front of the Almighty. V'etana didan, my time of the menorah. Why didn't our Mishnah, why didn't the Tan of our Mishnah mention that you used to tell them not to touch the menorah? So he'll say like this, Shulchan Ksiv Beit Samin. Shulchan, it says about it, V'nasata la Shulchan Lechem Panim Lefanai Tamid. And you are going to place on the Shulchan, you are to place on the Shulchan, show bread before me constantly. It has to constantly be there, so you can't take it away from its spot. Menorah lo Ksiv Beit Samin. The menorah doesn't say it has to constantly be there. Doesn't say it has to constantly be there. And therefore, it's okay. You know, if we have to take it and put it into a mikvah. Now, you might ask me, what do you mean that the menorah doesn't have to be constant? It says that there's a, it says about the menorah, you're going to light it, right? It says, Yaroch oso Aaron uvanav me'erev ad boker. Aaron and his children are going to have it arranged from evening till the morning. So Rashi explains that Tamid in regards to the menorah doesn't mean 24 hours. It means every day, consistently. Every night, they would light the menorah. The same way every night you bring the Karban Tamid. But during the day, Rashi says the menorah was not burning. During the day, it wasn't burning. And therefore, you could take it during the day and put it into the mikvah. But the Tamid of the Shulchan is by day and by night, because it's Tamid for the whole week. Therefore, the shulchan, you couldn't move, and therefore you have to be very careful not to allow the shulchan to become tamei.
This book of the Rambam, holds that they used to light it up in the morning as well.
Right.
So I guess in between.
In between, exactly, according to the Rambam, in between, because the Rambam does have them lighted by day.
We're assuming this tumah is not tumah temet, otherwise it would be a za'ah here.
Right. It's so just
this tumah, maybe mishkav, moshav.
That's right.
Like that.
Something light, some but light, some.
I think for 7 days.
That's right. I think it would make sense, right, that with the Amoratim, it's Tamazav, and they're not watching themselves. I think that would make sense.
Let's just check that we said that there's Nemanu to say we're not Mehmet.
Very good.
Not Nemanu to say, but here we're assuming, this is an assumption.
Right. I think it's mostly because of their wives, that the assumption was that their wives would be a Nida, and the Nida would be sitting on stuff. They're sitting on their clothing, they're wearing their clothing, so this clothing is an avatuma. Again, let's start again with the Gemara. Tanu, in the Braisa, Then the Braisa says that the Kohanim would say, Yizaru Shabbatigu b'shulchan of the menorah. They would say, be careful not to touch the table or the menorah. V'tana didan ma'itayim alotani menorah. Why did Tana, our Tana not say menorah? The answer is because Shulchan ksid beit tamid. It says about the Shulchan constantly. Menorah looks at beit tamid, but the menorah doesn't say constantly. V'idach. Whereas the Tana of the Braisa, kivin d'chsiv es menorah nocha ha-shulchan, since it says, and the menorah has to be parallel to the Shulchan. Whenever the Shulchan is there, the menorah is there. So it's as if it says about the menorah also constantly, because it has to be there whenever the menorah is there. The Idach and the other view would say, no, that pasuk is just to tell you what spot you put the menorah. Ask the Gemara, why are we so worried about Amaratzim touching the Shulchan? But typically, why don't we say, the Shulchan is a wooden utensil, made to be put down in one spot. It's not made to be carried around. Whenever you have a wooden utensil made to be put down in one spot, lo mitame, it does not become tame. My time, why does it not become tame? Because the pasuk says, kol asher yipol alav mehem b'mosam yitma, mikol kli'etz, o beged, or sak. The Torah says that a wooden utensil can become tame. In that same sentence, in the same phrase, it says, or a sack. A sack can become tummy. So it's linking wooden utensils, cleats, to sack. So, dumya the sack, what type of wooden utensils can become impure? Those that are like a sack. Masak, just like a sack. Mitaltel mali vereka. It's something which you can carry when it's full, and something which you can carry when it's empty. It can't be too big. If it's too big and you can't carry the things that it holds, it's useless. Right? So, too, a kli eitz has to be something which you could carry full or empty. So, ma'asak mitalta mali v'reikam, af kol mitalta mali v'reikam. So now the shulchan is not mitaltel mali v'reikam. It's a kli eitz asil anachas. It's a kli eitz that's put down. Answer the Gemara, no. Ha nami mitaltel mali v'reikam hu kidereish lakish. The shulchan also was something. Yes, it was wooden, but it could be carried full and emptied, as Rish Lakish taught us. Rish Lakish, my dechli was meaning of the pasuk. V'sam to osam eschalos lechem apanim al hashulchan. V'sam to osam al hashulchan ator. The pasuk says, and you are to place them. V'sam to osam shtein ma'arachos sheisha ma'arachas al hashulchan ator lifnei Hashem. You are to put them, the loaves, the stacks of loaves, on the pure table. What do you mean on the pure table? Michlal shehu tamei. So that implies that it could have been a tamei table. V'amai. Now you might ask, how could it be a tamei table? Put it on the pure table. Make sure it didn't become tamei. How could it become tamei? It's a wooden utensil that's made to be put in one spot. It doesn't have the ability to become tamei. But the answer is that it was not made to be placed in one spot. Shemak bein oso. They used to lift up the shulchan during the holidays. Umarin bolo l'regalim lechem apanim. And they would show all the pilgrims the showbread. Omen lehem. And they would say to the Jews, Ruuchi baschem lifnei amakom. See how beloved you are before God. Siluko kesiduro. And we're going to take this bread off. It's as if we just put it on. The bread was steaming hot for the full week that it was on the shulchan. Normally you take a bread out of the oven, it's steaming hot. Then it cools down. But they would pick up the shulchan, let's say on a Thursday, and they'd say, look, we put it on last Shabbos. You see the steam is still rising. God loves you. God has special affection for you. So they're lifting it up to show it to everybody. So something which is carried full. Tam Rabbi Shuma Levi, Rabbi Shuma Levi taught us, Neis Gadol Na'asav Lechem Apanim. There was a great miracle in the showbread. Kisiduro, the way it was hot when you first arranged it on the table. Kach Siluko, that's the way it was when you took it off the table. Shneimer, the pasuk says, Lasum Lechem Chom Yom Hilakho, to put bread which has heat on the day of its taking. So, when the Kohanim would lift it up, it was full. So this is a wooden utensil that's lifted full. It's carried around full. And certainly when it was empty, they could lift it. Therefore, it has the ability to become tame. So since it has the ability to become tame, now we understand why we would say to the Amaratzim that they shouldn't touch it. Ask the Gemara, why do you have to give the answer that we lift up the Shulchan? The Tepeklei Mishum Tzipui. Why don't we say that the reason why it could become Tameh, we told the Amaratzim not to touch it, is because it's plated in gold. Datnan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah in Kalim, HaShulchan, if you have a table, Vadulpaki, or you have a folding chair, Shenivchasu, that they were broken, and now it's not able to be used, O Shechipan Bishayish, or you covered them in marble, V'shir Be'em Makam Anachas Kosos, and there's still one spot where you could put on that table a cup. There's one spot that's not covered with marble. You can put a cup there. Tummy. Then they are still tummy because they can still be used a little bit. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Makam anachas chatichos. You have to have enough of the table left to put pieces of bread and meat. But if you don't have any spot of the table left to put cups or to put bread and meat. Let's say the whole table is covered with marble now. There's no spot to put bread, no spot to put cups. This table doesn't become tam anymore because now it's no longer a wooden table. Now it became a stone table. Stone doesn't have the ability to become tame. So you see that the plating, the cover, is what the item is. So now we have the shulchan in the heichal. The shulchan in the heichal is plated in gold, so it's metal. A metal utensil can become tame even if it's not movable. So why do we have to say that the shulchan is movable? People lift it up. The chitame, if you're going to tell me, well, it depends what type of plating and what type of, you know, sort of underlying object. Shiny, I'd say shitim. The shitim wood of the shulchan is different. The chashivi, they're very prominent. Lobati, they don't lose their identity. Hani chal Reish Lakish, that's fine. According to Reish Lakish, the Amr who said, lo shanu, that this law of the Mishnah in Kalim, that the wooden utensil loses its identity to its cover, Ella Biklei Aksklagim Abayim Mdina Sayam, that's only in the utensils that come from the Akslagim wood. Akslagim was a city, a certain type of wood that was a cheap wood. Avo Biklei Masmim Lobati, but utensils that come from or are made out of the Masmim wood, other expensive wood, they don't lose their identity to their cover. So then Shapir, then you can say fine, that Atze Shitim are very prominent, and therefore they're still considered a wooden utensil. El, Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar, who said that the Mishnah in Kalim replies, Afilu Beklei Masmim, Nami Batli, even utensils made out of Masmim wood, they get annulled to their cover. Ma'ikal Amimah, what are you going to say? The Chitim, if you're going to tell me the reason why we didn't say that here it's all about the cover, you're going to say that Khan and Kalim, the Tzipuya Omeid, it's a cover that's going to last because it was nailed in. Khan and the Shulchan was the Tzipuya She'ena Omeid. The cover wasn't nailed in. Therefore, you can take off the cover, and that's why it's not considered a metal utensil. It's considered a wooden utensil. Well, you know, Habay Minei Reish Lakish Mir Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, this law that we look at the cover of the wooden utensil, B'tzipuya Omeid, is it only with the cover that was fastened? O B'tzipuya She'ena Omeid? Or is it even with a cover that's not fastened? Is it B'chofe Es Levizbezav? Is it with a cover that covers the rim? O B'She'ena Chofe Es Levizbezav? Or even if it doesn't cover the rim? Amar Lei and Rabbi Yochanan said, Lo Shanu, there's no difference. Lo Shanu B'tzipui Omeid, Lo Shanu B'tzipui She'ena Omeid, it's no difference whether the cover is fastened or not. Lo Shanu B'chopes Levizbezav, Lo Shanu B'she'ena Chopes Levizbezav, or if it doesn't cover the rim, either way, the table has the status of its cover. So now, once Rabbi Yochanan holds that the table gets the status of its cover, so the wooden table in the Heichal should have the status of its cover, which is metal. So if it's metal, it's going to get tuma even if it's not moved around. So why do we have to give the answer that they would pick it up for the pilgrims to see? Answer the Gemara. Normally, the cover is the item. Al shiny shulchan, but the table is different. Rachmana karye eitz. The Torah says that it's still considered wood, even though it has a cover. The pasuk says, Nicheskel, ha-mizbeach eitz. The Mizbeach is made out of wood. Shalosh Amos Gova V'Arko Shtayim Amos. O'Miktsa'osav Lo V'Arko V'Kirosav Eitz. Ayadabre Eli, and he said to me, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. This is the table that's before God. Ask the Gemara, Pasuk V'Mizbeach. In that Pasuk, it started with the Mizbeach. The scene B'Shulchan and ended off talking about the table. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish Tamir Tavara taught us a lesson. His match Beis Hamikdash came, and we had a Beis Hamikdash. Mizbeach mechaper al adam. The altars were created atonements. But after that, we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. Shulchan shel adam mechaper alav. A person's table is what creates the atonement. When you welcome guests, that's what creates atonement. We learned in the Mishnah. Kol hakelim shel mikdash yesh lahem shnim u'shlishim. All the different utensils had replacements, except for the Mizbeach Hazav and the Mizbeach HaNechoshos. They didn't need it because they are like earth. Mizbeach HaNechoshos, Tichsiv, it says, Mizbeach Adam HaTa'asali, make an altar of earth for me. And Mizbeach Hazav, Tichsiv, HaMenorah VaMizbachos, Ishkash Mizbachos, Elozet, says Menorah and Mizbachos. That means that the two Mizbachos are compared to each other. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll merit to have the Siyum on Sunday.